This meeting is now being recorded.
I have a few opening comments, but I think what I'd like to do is have Brandy take the roll first, just to make sure that we have at least a quorum present of committee members. Brandy?
All right. Judge Conklin?
Present.
Judge Barton?
Here.
Judge Blum?
Here.
Judge Buckley? Judge Cope?
Here.
Judge Herman? Judge Heinrichs?
Here.
Judge Lucas?
Here.
Judge Marginis?
Here.
Judge Maragonda?
Here.
Judge McCabe? Ms. Carter?
Here.
Ms. Eberhardt?
Here.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Ms. Fleming?
Here.
Ms. Flenner? I'll try that one again because of the beat. Ms. Flenner? Mr. Harrigan?
Here.
Mr. Planet? Mr. Planet? Mr. Roddy?
Here.
Ms. Romero-Souls?
Here, Brandy. And Judge McCabe said he was going to call in, so he might be calling in later.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Ms. Ugrin Capobianco?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Here.
And advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw?
Here.
Mr. Theodorovich?
Here.
And Judge Gabe? Okay.
This is Mike Planet calling in as president. Oh,
thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Besides those committee members who answered present to the roll call, has anybody else called in the past minute whose name was not acknowledged? Okay, well, we've clearly got a quorum, so in the interest of starting this meeting on time and staying within everybody's schedule, we're going to go ahead and get it started and start being recorded. I do remind everybody this is a public meeting. And just in summary, why we're here today, at our most recent in-person TICFAC meeting on July 31st, we addressed quite a few issues. One of those was related to the interpreter program shortfall, and we had a very significant and lively discussion about that shortfall. I remind everybody that, and I'm just doing this because we're not all in the same room, I'm sure we're all on the same sheet of music, however, that this is not a discussion about cutting interpreter funds. This is a discussion about making the best use that we have of existing interpreter funds and how do we most responsibly account for the shortfall that we have in that current fund statement. I'm about to turn to Cottrell to let him summarize that for us and the alternatives, but again, I just wanted to preface our discussion with that perspective, that we all recognize the critical need of interpreter services. We recognize how important funding is for that, but we also recognize that we cannot spend money we don't have to a degree, though there might be an option today that will at least allow for some relief. So what we're going to do today is hopefully take action on that. This action would then be presented to the Judicial Council at its September meeting, where they would consider what our recommendations are today. And before I turn to Cottrell, has anybody, any other committee member called in that is not yet present, does not acknowledge their attendance? Any committee members on the line?
Jim Buckley. Sorry, I'm late.
Great. Thanks for calling in from Notre Dame, Dan. That's appreciated. You got an A for most furthest participant in the meeting.
Okay.
I would also ask everybody to remain on hold, to not place their phones on hold. And also, this instance is a public meeting. There was public comment. Brandy distributed that yesterday, written public comment. If anybody did not receive that, please let Brandy know right away. I want you to all make sure you have that. But it was available. It's posted online, so it is available for consideration. And since it's a telephonic meeting, we do not have a mechanism to allow for personal public comment today. And with that, we'll now turn to the discussion and possible action item of the single item on our agenda, and that's potential methodologies for allocating the interpreter funding shortfall that we have. Cottrell is available for that, and Cottrell with that, and folks, you all have this, those potential methodologies are set forth in the printed materials that were posted timely, and they start, oops, so if somebody, great, so, well, somebody's taking a phone call. Anyways, could, on page 5 with the options for consideration. Cottrell?
Okay, I'll go ahead and start. Thank you, Judge Conklin. The 3 options before the committee today are as follows.
And you're a little bit, I don't know if you're far away from a microphone, but I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Option 1 is the allocation of the TCTF fund balance on a one-time basis to address the projected $3.4 million shortfall. This approach will enable courts to maintain the court interpreter program at current levels through the 18-19 fiscal year. Option 1 is similar to the action taken by the council in 08-09. In that year, court interpreter expenditures exceeded the appropriation by $912,000, and the shortfall was covered by one-time funding allocated by the Judicial Council. Option 2 would discontinue reimbursement for all civil matters effective October 1st of this year, and only for the current fiscal year. That's pending the outcome of the 1920 VCP. Adoption of Option 2 will require pro rata reductions to court's monthly staff interpreter employee distributions, which are based on the 18-19 Schedule 7As. And lastly, Option 3 would discontinue reimbursement for all civil matters effective October 1st. That, too, is pending the outcome of the 1920 BCP. But this option would continue to reimburse courts to the extent that funds are available. So, for instance, if funds are available to fully reimburse courts up to Priority Level 4, reimbursement for priority levels 5 through 8 would be discontinued. If either option 2 or 3 is recommended by the committee today, Judicial Council staff can be directed to notify courts that the recommendation will be considered by the Judicial Council at their September 2021 meeting. This will give courts an opportunity to plan for any such changes. And with that, I'll pass it back to Judge Conklin.
So I want to first open it up, obviously, for questions that about any of the 3 methods, and just to sort of set the 3 apart. Option 1 is the one that would allow us to continue. As I understand it, Cottrell, we would use the funds in TCTF to continue services as currently provided. Two and three would result in addressing the shortfall now. I don't know how else to put it. And accounting for that shortfall now, whereas 1 would allow us to defer that shortfall at least for the next fiscal year. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
Okay. So with that, questions from committee members about any of the options or discussion?
Judge Conklin, this is Chad Finke. I just have a clarifying question for Cottrell. On page 4 of the report, on the table that shows the projected expenditures, so I was looking at it, and I see that, you know, one of the reasons why the expenditures are going up is the interpreter coordinator expenses are projected to go up from $1 million to $2.6. And I just wondered, Cottrell, is that the 2.6, is that based on actuals? Do we know for sure that there's going to be another $1.6 million in expenses for the coordinators, or is that just a projection based on something?
It's a projection based on prior year actuals, but you are correct. We don't know for sure, and we won't know what the actual effect of the change will be until October or November of this year through the true-up process.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Judge Conklin, this is David Yamasaki.
Go ahead, David.
I have since we're on that particular table, I noticed that under column B, it estimates the estimate is $1.58 million in estimated wage increases. Is that information related to information that is known as of today or a month ago, or how current is that? Because I just know that there are some negotiations that have taken place where there have been settlements, and wanted to know if that 1.5A would have included more recent settlement agreements that have been reached.
No, Mr. Yamasaki, it doesn't. That 1.5A number is based on meetings with HR and Court Operations Services back in April and May of this year.
Thank you.
Sure.
Sherry, did I hear you asking a question?
I did. I just thought it would be helpful for the group to have it explained why on page 4 under projected expenditures it's $111.8 million with an allocation of $107.6 million, but the updated is $108.9 million expenditures with the same allocation amount. Why have you reduced the projected expenditures by almost $3 million?
If I'm not mistaken, I think you're referring to the difference between the projected expenditures and the allocation that is going to Riverside for the two new judgeships.
I think you need to explain to the group why page 4 and page 5 on projected expenditures are different.
This is Mike Roddy. I have the same question.
So I think you need to explain to the group.
It's the reduction, I think it's the October 2018 reduction. Someone step in if I'm mistaken, but...
That's correct, Cattell. Okay. This is Brandy.
So it's only different for 18-19 as I see it?
Yes.
Exactly, but that's the year we're talking about, Judge Conklin,
right.
And the difference
exactly.
of that 2-point-whatever million makes a big difference on whether we're in the black or the red in the trial court trust fund balance.
That's a good point.
I think it's important.
Go ahead.
This is Mike Roddy. It also, from the appearance between these two charts, means that rather than a $3.4 million deficit in the interpreter's fund, there's a $534,000 deficit. I'm not connecting the dots.
Right. So we included what it would look like if option one were implemented and we cease civil reimbursements effective October. So, no, it doesn't fully cover the shortage that we're anticipating, but that's what the outcome would be projected as of today.
Oh, I see. Okay, so chart on page 5 shows that we will still have a negative number to cover even if we don't cover the last category with the available funding.
And that's because I think it's only 9 months of...
Correct.
9 months of savings.
Okay.
And Mike Roddy, does that satisfy your concern as well?
Yeah, it just wasn't clear from the chart that you were including that's what it was. So now I understand it. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for clarifying that for both of you.
And I just want to follow up in that while that's recognized today, of course, we would continue monitoring, and depending the outcome of today's meeting recommendation, we'll determine what steps we take in the future if that needs to be addressed.
Okay.
I just want to point out, based on David's comment, that my CFI group just ratified their contract increase for a 3-year term, significantly less than many other regions. It's only 2.75 and then 2.5 and then 2.25, but that will not be included in these projections as well. And that will increase the cost to the fund. And I think, David, your region is going in negotiations now, isn't it? You're the next largest region.
Yes, that's correct. That would be Region 4, and it does include all of the courts south of Los Angeles and east, including Inyo as well.
Yeah. So those costs are also not included, which will impact this account this year.
All right, those are all good points and good things to consider. So there are three, and I don't want to in any way prevent people from further discussion. There's three options that Cottrell has detailed. We have significant public comment addressing some of those options. And this is a potential action item today, so we can consider a motion if anybody is comfortable in making a motion related to any of those three options.
Can I ask John one more question before we do that, Judge Conklin?
Oh, of course. And we can continue with the discussions and questions.
No, that's fine. So, John, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
So, I'm assuming, I know from the written materials, it said there was no time to try to see if DOF would be supportive of allowing the $4 million allocated to Judicial Council to use that for 1 year to fill this hole while we seek the BCP to then fund this account appropriately. And is that true? There isn't any time to try to get the DOF to support that use of the money for 1 year only so that we can work this out? Because I think all of us want to do this. The problem is we're putting this unfunded burden on the trial courts, and our operational money is already being cut for other things. So are you comfortable that there is not adequate time to do that for 1 year?
And Sherry, you saw the discussion on page 6 about that alternative.
I did.
Right. Yep. Good. Okay. John?
So with respect to a conversation with the executive branch, Department of Finance, given we're so early in this particular fiscal year and we're talking about projections, their approach at this point would be, we'll see what happens here. If they actually materialize into a deficit, then I think their approach, Sherry, would be they will look to see if we have any options available to us, such as the trial court trust fund, for a solution. If the answer there is no, then I think that they would be open to a conversation about if there are additional dollars such as backfill that would be available. That's normally what their approach is. We have identified this as a discussion item with them later this month when we meet on a whole series of the next governor's budget items. This will be on that for discussion. I expect they will take it as a thanks for letting us know. We'll watch and see how this plays out.
So, John, this is Mike Roddy. At the end of the day, it could be well into the year before they decide that if this is appropriate or not, and we'd basically be kind of going out on a limb hoping at some point that they see the light and would permit us to do this on a one-time basis.
Yeah, I think that's right, Mr. Roddy. What I think they would initially do is they would identify first, is it real? And if the answer to that is yes, then they would immediately pivot to what options are within the discretion of the courts, whether it be the trial court trust fund or some other means that if we have sufficient funds to try to cover it. If the answer is yes to that, I think that they would probably not go down the road of pulling general fund dollars or other funds that would revert back to the general fund, unless that's kind of like the last option I think that they would explore with us.
Judge Conklin, this is David Yamasaki. I have a follow-up question.
Of course.
So one of the points that John had just mentioned was the potential opportunity to look at other resources that might be available to backfill. I know Cottrell had mentioned a little bit earlier that back in 2008, appropriately so, the trial court trust fund backfilled a shortfall back then. And I think at the time we had a surplus of something in the order of tens of millions of dollars in that fund balance for the trial court trust fund. And I know that one of the items that we're considering today relates to turning to that fund as a potential source to backfill. Since you provided it in attachment B, is it possible for us to have a clear understanding of how much fund balance might be available for consideration We're looking at, I think, about a $3.4 million gap to try to close. And what is the fund condition of the Child Court Trust Fund, both in 18, 19, and let's say 19, 20?
This is Lotko. It's the projection is for the ending of 18-19 is $62 million. We're estimated at the end of 17-18, $58 million. Said one caveat to that is that it also includes some of the excess backfill that we've anticipated from the administration and the $55 million. So I think our shortfall is more closer to $45 million. So there's monies in there that we probably wouldn't want to count. But still a substantial, you know, $50 million fund balance in the Child Court Trust Fund available beyond, you know, any restricted funds that are enumerated in the on page 8, lines 28 through 35.
So a question for then is, and I want to be careful how far where this discussion goes, but I think we've all recognized that this is a problem that while we're more than willing to contribute in solving, somebody used the phrase kick the can down the road earlier, and I think Sherry, this problem has been in existence for a while. We have seen this coming, we've communicated this is coming. Sherry did a very good job at, I think, the July meeting talking about as long ago as 3 years ago, she was very vocal in stating the concern about this. So I'm hopeful we can solve it in the short term, but I don't mean to speak for the committee. My perspective would be by solving it for the, if we were able to solve it, for instance, for this year, and this would assume a BCP is not successful, that we can't keep the same option year after year after year. But if other people have different perspectives, I would invite you to share them. I'm just sharing mine.
Judge Conklin, this is John Wardlaw. Just for clarity, we do have a BCP moving forward for consideration in the governor's budget for a permanent solution to this issue.
Right.
Those discussions obviously will be ongoing throughout the fall.
And we're pretty, you're right. And that's a good point, John, is this, that BCP discussion is continuing full steam ahead, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yep. Okay, any other discussion points or questions, or I would invite, if anybody feels comfortable considering any of these three options, a motion on any of the three options.
So can I clarify one more thing? This is Sherry, and I apologize. It sounds like, from John and Zlatko's comments, that if we agreed to recommend to use the Trial Court Trust Fund balance, and it got to the end, it got to 2019, and we were running into a snag. It sounds from what I'm hearing that if we did have revenue backfill that we did not need, that would be a negotiation point that you could use when you talk to DOF to then help fill the hole before the trial courts would be asked to take it out of their local budgets. Would that be a true statement, John?
Yeah, I we would certainly advocate that the Trial Court Trust Fund is a fund that, you know, we desperately need the funds in that for local court operations. And to the extent that there are dollars available outside of that, that's where we would push for. I believe finance, they will do the thorough review, and if there are options available within our discretion, they generally push for that as the solution. That said, we will be very much in the corner of, our limited funds in the Trial Court Trust Fund really were designated for local court operations. There's no debate at all about every dollar being needed by the courts. And so we, to the extent that new issues come up, if there were backfill dollars or other sources, we would certainly explore those with Department of Finance.
Hey, John, this is Mike Roddy. It seems to me that interpreter expenses are as integral to court operations as many other things that are in the Trial Court Trust Fund. And I think it's a shame we've got them in separate pots for this particular argument. But I do think it's got to be stressed how significant language access issues are to court operations, even though it's in a separate fund.
I'm in complete agreement. And, you know, in our discussions with the Department of Finance, they have been very open to the conversation. I think that this BCP, they're aware of the fund condition, the issue. I think that it will be a good conversation. Whether or not they will be open to other sources of funding, I don't know. I think that they will have the conversation with us. Generally, for first year, you know, at the beginning of a year, when we're talking about projections, they're not really all that worked up about it until it looks like a more real, actual deficiency. That normally time frame is in the January-February time period, where they're seeing that, you know, there really is a problem. At this point, it's a projections discussion, kind of on the radar. And we, as I mentioned before, fully intend to have this discussion with them later in the month.
John, or Judge Conklin, this is David again. I just have a follow-up question. And I think, if I heard correctly, one of the pieces of information, John, that you shared is that you are going to be reaching out to a DOF to see if there's an opportunity for a backfill. Now, was it this year or next year, if you can help me out there?
Sure. We're scheduled to be meeting with the Department of Finance later this month for comprehensive discussions about the BCPs moving forward in the governor's, hopefully moving forward in the governor's budget. This is one of the items that we have a BCP for, and obviously has current year implications that we'll be talking about.
Got it. Okay. So my question really related to the option, if in fact there is success in having a backfill this year, if we were to be reimbursed. Let's say we're covering, because since 4545 is earmarked separately, to just move the money over and then backfill it if we were to get some money this year, then, you know, all things will be whole, preserving the, you know, the modest fund balance that we have in the TCTF. I don't know if that's part of the conversation or not, but that may be something for us to kind of chew on.
Yeah, with respect to timing, I fully expect our friends at the Department of Finance will have a conversation with us. Very unlikely that they will give us any kind of a commitment or a signal that of which way they go. It will just be kind of information intake at this point because, as I mentioned before, projections are projections. They're not reality as far as they're concerned yet. It will be quite some time, probably January, February, before we would get any kind of real clear direction with respect to current year, this year, solutions. The governor's budget obviously will have what it's going to have, and hopefully it's going to be a fix to this this fund issue.
Thanks, John.
Judge Conklin?
Yes.
I'm prepared to make a motion, at least get something on the table for consideration.
All right, and that's Mike Roddy. Go ahead, thanks.
I'm prepared to recommend option number one on a one-time basis, knowing that there is an element of risk in this option of essentially bailing out the fund without properly being funded by the legislature or the governor. But I think with all of the issues on the table, it strengthens our hand to indicate that in spite of the shortfall in the fund, we are not pulling back on language access, which could be not a financial issue for us, but a political issue for us. And I think we need to think about all of those aspects as we move forward. So I'm prepared to recommend option one, given the conversation we've had here today.
All right. And this is Fanky. I'll second that motion.
So I heard Chad seconding over somebody else who I think was that you, Rebecca?
It was, but I'll defer to Chad. That's fine.
Okay, so there's been a motion and well stated, Mike, option one, as noted, and it does specifically say recommend the allocation of TCTF fund balance on a one-time basis. So that is within the option itself. That's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion or questions about the pending motion to adopt option one, which would then be presented as a recommendation to the Judicial Council at its September meeting?
Yeah, Judge Conklin, David Yamasaki, I do have a question.
Sure.
Now, it turns to the trust fund to backfill, but it's open-ended in terms of the amount. Is the motion to backfill whatever the deficit happens to become at the end of the year, or is it the specific dollar amount? Or was that not contemplated?
David, I didn't contemplate it, but I think there is a valid point to be made there. I mean, it's one thing at 3.4. Let's just say it's a different thing at 6.4. But I guess we're not going to know until we're well into the year. And, you know, if we're going to buy into the recommendation, I think we buy in. While it may have a one-time hit on the trial court trust fund, as I look in the out years, the fund could potentially be upside down anyway, and taking this out on a one-time basis isn't going to accelerate that move or make it any worse in the out years. So we're really buying a one-year solution and hoping that everybody is prudent and conservative when they do what they got to do.
Does that satisfy your question, David?
Partially, but I understand the response.
So what that means is, as I understand it, the motion is doesn't have a number tied to it. Any other questions, discussions on the pending motion for option one, as stated?
This is Nancy, Nancy Eberhardt. I have a question on the motion for one-time funding. My concern is that we do have before us that there are deficits in the out years, and the BCP is a proposal at this point, of course. Is there a way that we can amend the motion, and I'm not sure, in order to provide for some sort of monitoring so that we're not faced with I don't want to say last minute, but an urgent session again as we find more information towards the end of this fiscal year? And that's probably not well stated.
No, I understand what you're saying, Nancy. I guess I think we have. I think even given Sherry's comments years ago, and now that it's come to, again, perhaps a different magnification, and I appreciate you're right. This is something we'll continue to monitor. I'm not sure if R&E will take that up, if the Revenue Expenditure Subcommittee, or if the Funding Methodology Subcommittee working together will take it up. I don't think this problem has been one that TICBAC as a whole has failed to address over the past years, but you're right. We will continue to keep a very close eye on it. Is that what your concern is?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Yes, I think you framed it better. My concern is who will own this once we make this decision to make sure that we are moving towards a more permanent solution. I understand that there's a proposed budget change proposal out there, but who's owning that?
So Nancy, this is Lucy. We will certainly come back with an update after Governor's budget proposals release in January and when we have firmer projections. So sure, that will be the latest we return with some more information.
I have a staff
will own it, I guess, is the answer to your question. We'll ensure we monitor and track and provide regular updates.
Thank you, Lucy.
All right.
This is Pat Lucas. I have a concern about the unlimited nature of the pending proposal. So, Mike, I guess this question is for you. Would we be able to achieve the same benefits of voicing support for language access but not committing ourselves to something we don't know how big it is by making the same proposal with a cap?
Yeah. Judge Lucas, this is Lotko, if I may.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it might be worthwhile that we cap it at the estimate now with an understanding that, and we would do this naturally anyways, is staff would be monitoring it, and to the extent that it appears to be exceeding that, you know, that we would be returning to the committee with this information, you know, and that can be, you know, periodic email as to where we are, but if it thinks that we necessitate some revisiting of the amount, we can do that.
I would be comfortable with that.
Who was that?
I would be comfortable with that. I think that buys us some time, and it kind of moves the conversation forward.
Yeah, I don't mean to be too fine a point on it, and I think that's a great suggestion. This should be viewed as a Band-Aid, not a piggy bank. So we're not saying that we'll just continue to throw money at this regardless of how much money is spent for a variety of interests. We're willing to solve the problem in the short term. But anyways, I like that solution, Zlatko. So, Mike, are you willing to modify your motion with that language that it would be capped at the projection and we continue to monitor?
Yes, yes.
And who seconded that, Chad?
That was me, Judge Conklin. This is Chad Finke, and I will reiterate my second for the friendly modified motion.
And Rebecca, you're right there with that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
You seconded it as well. Okay.
Yes.
All right, so understanding that, and I think that's a good clarification on the motion. Option one is stated with the cap, so to speak, at the current projection with staff continuing to update and monitor the financial impact. Any other questions, discussions, or concerns about the pending motion? Hearing none, recognizing this is a telephonic, I think the most efficient way at this point is simply to handle it as we would in person. Of the committee members that are on the line, the voting members, is there any member that is opposed to the stated motion? I've waited, I've paused, I hear no opposition, so therefore, as the chair, I'm deeming that the motion carries unanimously. Option one, with the modifying language as stated, will be then presented to the council at its September meeting. I thank everybody for moving so quickly on this. It's just 2 weeks ago, believe it or not, that we were all together considering this, and staff, again, for pivoting and repivoting to get this information to us. Cottrell, in particular, and everybody else, thank you so much for all the work you did, from John and all the way through the staff. Our next meeting, so in September, I'll present this as well as the $75 million. The next TICBAC meeting is anticipated to be an in-person meeting, October 18th in San Francisco. Any other comments or questions for the good of the order today? Thank you all very, very much for participating today. And before you hang up, sorry, I just want to make sure there's certain members earlier. Did Judge McCabe ever join us?
He's here.
Here.
In person from Scotland.
Okay.
Hi.
Great. And Judge Buckley came on. And Judge Herman, did you ever join us? And Kim Flander, did you ever come on? So the only members I showed that did not participate now were Judge Herman and Kim Flinner. Okay, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.